CliffCentral.com.
Everybody, here we are. We're live. It is Wednesday. It is the 8th of January. I don't know if you heard, but the two big news stories of the morning, which have just happened. One is a Ukrainian plane was just taken out of the sky. Nobody's really sure what happened. It took off in Iran, as far as I can tell, and 180 passengers? Sia knows these things. Sia's busy translating.
I'm like signaling, no, go higher.
It's way worse.
180. So a Boeing 737 belonging to Ukraine International Airlines has crashed. They say so far due to technical problems after takeoff from an Iranian airport with 180 passengers and crew on board. So this is what we know so far.
Yeah, and then the Iranians attacked one of the U.S. air bases in retaliation, obviously, for the death of Soleimani on what was it, Monday? When did they take him out? Monday or Sunday? One of the two. Mm. So things are exciting. You've woken up to a busy morning, but even better than that.
Even better than a Ukrainian disaster.
Ukrainian.
Is Gord Laws.
That is big news.
Ella was first. Second time ever, actually.
Well, the
last time was out of memory. It's a distant cave painting, oral tradition.
First of all, you've got very, very beardy over the holidays.
Yes, it's due of a trim.
You look like Barry Ronger. You have such a big beard.
I am like young, straight Barry Ronger. I've accepted that niche.
It's amazing. Sia, because of load shedding, he couldn't get hold of me this morning at like 4 o'clock.
And
suddenly everything just, you know, it all kind of clusterfucked together.
The whole world was like off its axis. I tried to phone Sia to wake him.
Oh, did you?
And the roles were reversed.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm one of those people who waits for my phone to go to 1%/die before I charge it further. And so I was using my phone before I went to bed last night, and then it completely died, and I thought, aha, this is when I now plug it in. Clearly, I went to sleep the same time we were load shed, because I woke up at 4:14 on the dot.
I couldn't sleep at all last night. So.
Yeah. And my team got fisted with no lube, and I cried in my bed for an hour and a half.
Excuse me.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I support a football team, but it's more like
I don't know German where that was going. So when I woke up at 4:14, and I know that because I thought it was a little odd that my phone was off, but I thought, let me just rejig the charger a bit, and in the process, I bumped the iPad, and that's how I saw the time. But you know, the morning is extra particular because every minute of sleep helps. I thought I can go back to sleep, and I'll wake up at like 4:40.
Mm. Also, there's Laws's morning fuck you principle, which dictates that the later you are, the worse traffic will be.
Yes, that's correct.
And if you are, the earlier you are, like me today, just early, then there was literally no traffic.
No traffic.
Not even proportionately, like there was 1/8 what there usually is.
There's one other thing that's on the agenda this morning. That's matric results, which we'll get to in a little while, because people are saying, the matric pass rate's gone up. But so what? I mean, like the reality is, like, we don't have jobs for all these people who are coming out of matric. So I don't know. A matric is not worth very much anymore. I hate to be the only one who says it, because, you know, the Department of Basic Education will tell you that that's an achievement. And, of course, like, getting finishing school is
it's an important thing.
Sure. Mm. But it's not guaranteeing you a thing afterwards.
No. It's still surprising how much value a matric qualification or even just a university degree in some circles holds. You know, like my mom is a major advocate of telling people who maybe are not doing well at school, are not, you know, coming to their best, to say, look, Go to some sort of technical school rather. Learn how to be an electrician. Learn how to be a plumber. Because
Get you a trade.
Yeah, books might not be for you. So,
or like both, to supplement your learning, you have to read on things that you read about things that you're interested in.
Yeah.
You have to be to find where your curiosities are, be they professional or just purely personal curiosities, and read. And I mean, read like find. People always think that reading like nonfiction and learning further is more homework, more of the schoolwork you hated, more textbooks. But in order to be a successful nonfiction writer, you make millions of dollars by being the person that can explain stuff the most entertainingly and clearly.
There we go.
And so whoever can make it way more fun to learn than high school was, they get bestsellers. So there's an incentive to be cool to learn.
That makes a lot of sense. Hey, Mbulelo's here.
I am here. He of the WhatsApp group that I've been so eager to meet. Classic chirper of one-liners.
You haven't met Mbulelo yet?
No.
Long it was since Gord was last here?
End of October. By middle of October.
Jesus, Gord.
Yeah, I needed some time.
Well, we got lots of things to get into this morning. But first of all, how was your holiday, Gordo? What did you get up to?
Ah, man, it was a... I tried to take it as easy as possible. Most of my family was away. I had a lot of stuff I had to deal with and work through. It's been a crap second half of the year, so I just...
I had some car issues.
I took some me time.
I saw you had big fights with people about Star Wars.
Ooh.
Dude, I was so...
What happened to you?
Why are you fighting with people? A little piece of my faith in humanity.
I thought you were a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, I know, me too. Until I liked Star Wars, which apparently is fucking like posting a picture of yourself at your clan rally, according to Facebook.
No.
Like, there's a meme where it's like, Disney ruined Star Wars. It's like, no. You ruined Star Wars by being miserable and not letting anyone have an opinion and only liking 3 of the 11 movies.
Yeah, well, also, you know, the same fans who bitched endlessly and remorselessly when George Lucas produced Episode 1,
Attack 2 and 3,
Clones,
now,
and Revenge of the Sith. They said this is a piece of shit.
Totally.
All of it's teenage horrible.
Green screen.
Then George Lucas said, fine, fuck you, I'm selling it to Disney. And he did.
Yeah.
And then Disney said, right, you think he fucked it up. We're going to show
I actually
you.
Really enjoyed the 3 new sequels. I agree the middle one was not as good. The third one tied everything up like, and cool, don't dig it. Don't enjoy it. I had a great time out.
Listen, it's ridiculous that people sit in adult
it's
grown
Star Wars.
People.
It's fairy tales.
Exactly. It's stupid.
And you don't have to watch it. And if it was the best thing in your childhood, fucking cool. I loved the Ninja Turtles, and the modern Nickelodeon Ninja Turtle cartoons are superior than the ones from 1995
correct.
On KTV.
Thank you.
But I don't enjoy them as much. I go, the old Ninja Turtles was the shit. This new shit is trash.
There's a part of me that gets upset about these things because we feel we own them, right? But you don't own them.
But well, is it about owning, or is it more about what it meant to you and just the?
I get this
in
my football
nostalgia.
Group also. It's like it's one thing to clearly express your opinion. Mm. Well and clearly in detail.
Yeah.
And it's another thing to clearly explain why you don't agree with someone else's opinion. But trying to prove their opinion wrong or make them change their mind.
Especially
on something fucking inconsequential. Like, you might hate Metallica. I don't care. Just don't tell me they shit and I can't like them because you don't. Because I'll prove to you they're not shit.
But this is what's happened with
the internet.
And
they call it toxic fandom. And I immediately vom a little in my mouth anytime we attach the word toxic to something.
But
because
it's true.
Even though things are toxic, it's a moron term to avoid having to actually know anything.
It's the best way to describe
it. Toxic fandom, toxic masculinity, toxic friendships, toxic feedback loops. It's like, shut the fuck up. You also read Facebook. Good for you. But you know, where the cliche has lost its meaning, there is like toxicity in the way that we have opinions on things that don't matter. I can understand fighting about politics as much as it's also a drain on the soul because that might matter.
Well, I put up this thing yesterday. I think you retweeted it.
I loved
it. Reposted it or whatever. But I'll just read through it very briefly because I think a lot of people are feeling the same way at the start of the year.
I might clap a little bit.
Well, yeah. Let me just go through it quickly. I said, "Hey, everybody." You just know. Hi, everybody.
Uh-oh.
Like Nick from The Simpsons, Dr. Nick. Okay, some helpful hints to avoid unnecessarily online ugliness this year. You can thank me later. Number one, don't post anything about tragedies that don't actually involve you, even if you really care and you move to bring awareness to that tragedy. People don't think you're a good person for doing this. Because that's the reason most people do it.
God is in church right now.
Church, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Most people see it for what it is, an attention-seeking and virtue-signaling exercise. It will annoy the people who already know you're a good person and have no effect on those who don't.
Like Anthony Jeselnik says, your thoughts and prayers and your resharing the news story, all 80 of your friends and 8,000 of everyone else's have already seen. It's actually going, don't forget about me. I know Australia's got a lot of problems, but don't forget about me. I'm involved.
And you and
I'm involved.
You and I have had this conversation before, but awareness. I'm doing my bit to bring awareness.
Every single person that's shared a link and said, I donated even $50 to this actual legit charity, you should too.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Well,
share the shit out of that.
Here's the thing. If you've got some skin in the game,
yeah.
Like if you've actually taken trouble, used some of your resources.
25 Rand. 125
and
Rand.
Been involved. And this is what I mean. Like you've actually got involved. You didn't just express that you were concerned or that you had emotional clout in this world of
I have feelings that I'm really not happy about this really Australia business. Metallica just donated $750,000 to they split it between two firefighting.
Elton John apparently said he would suck any fireman's dick that asked to help also with
so
the
that's
fire.
Gonna make less firemen volunteer. Can I? I'll firefight to not have my dick sucked by Elton.
All right, sounds so, like that.
What's Elton John's man wife called?
David Furnish.
Furnish, that's right.
Yeah,
I have the perfect right, so, on my wall.
Let me finish this quickly. So, also, this is still on the post. Don't post about tragedies. Also, it's a bandwagon that doesn't need any more passengers, right? Thank you. Rather mutter to yourself in the shower, and then you can have as much effect as your post will.
How else are we going to know that you also know about the Australian bushfires if you don't also post the story?
Exactly. Number two, if it isn't funny or fascinating, please WhatsApp it to an old deactivated number instead of sharing it with everybody.
I may occasionally be guilty here.
Yeah, self-righteous, political, religious, or vegan stuff isn't as interesting as it was in 2020,
mm-hmm.
or rather, in 2020 as it was before in 2005 or anywhere in between. It makes you look like you just discovered the internet and it's insufferable. If you're not funny or fascinating, post a picture of your boobs, your ass, or tell us something scandalous. We'd appreciate that. Thank mm-hmm. you. Number three, nobody cares if you're black, white, gay, straight, cisgender, or trans. Those things are not unique or special.
Nope.
And neither are you.
If you have like 40 nipples and a penis growing out your shoulder. Oh, that's pretty unique and special.
Absolutely.
Maybe even if you don't like being that way, we can raise you some funds. But unless there's less than 100 of whatever you are in the world, it's not interesting.
And we can probably tell from your profile picture. And why on earth would we be friends or we follow you if those were the most interesting things about you?
Please remind me to get back to Facebook's friend suggestion algorithm after this and do continue.
Okay. If you're proud of any of those things, great. Thank your parents or thank God or thank Mother Nature because you didn't have anything to do with it whatsoever.
Unless you tried your very best to be that thing because it was hip. In which case, you tried too hard and you've lost the points.
Right. In which case, refer back to number one.
Yes.
All right. Number four, fake news is boring. Can we please stop sharing stuff that we're not at least 70% sure is true?
Oh, God. I got such a great one as well.
Well, that also means that people need to do research and not just take things for headlines. And I mean, that's not fun.
God forbid you should actually have to get like one or two articles to back up your nonsense.
The problem is people spread the kind of shit. They're people you like in real life and you know in real life. Like a guy that I perfectly enjoy in real life who's dating another very dear friend of mine. Like he shares stuff. A lot of it's funny and then some of it's just garbage and you want to be like, dude, shut up. He was like, he shared a post and he'll never hear this. It's not about the individual, but he shared a post from a page called So True It Hurts because true is an absolute. The thing is either false or true. It can't be so true. It can be I relate a lot or I strongly agree. It's not so true. It's either false or true. Anyway, so true it hurts make a meme that says, the U.S. banks made $34 billion in overdraft charges. They literally took billions from people who by definition don't have money. Oh, it's a loan. You voluntarily took a fucking loan to pay bills and live.
Can I just go back to
the banks take overdraft fees from the poorest of the poor.
I'm so sick of this too. And I know it sounds like we're bitching, but these are actually these are tips to get your year right. Because if you do this stuff, people are going to hate you, and
you might not realize. You might see because all your friends are doing it that it's maybe how you do it.
Well, that's it. So, can we also stop with absolutes in respect of like the truth? It's so true, it hurts. Or I'm obsessed with that tree. Or
this is everything right now.
I'm guilty of that.
Yeah, but whatever happened to the subtle stuff? Like, yeah, I like that. Or that's okay. Those things have more power now than I'm obsessed.
Because now everything is in two buckets.
Yeah.
You got conservative, redneck, Christian, creationist, abortion-hating, women's rights destroyers versus like angry, vegan, feminist, fucking militant, ironically not understanding the carbon footprint system, pro-environment, transgender people.
Koala bear savers.
You have to be one or the other. You can't be like, well, I'm for women's rights and abortion, but I'm not so keen on... Yeah, you can't,
and there is no room for any subtlety.
You can't be a person of the middle and make your own mind up on each individual issue.
No nuance anymore.
Yeah, you get told what your set of things to like and hate are.
You're either a really good person who is so pure and excellent that everything you do is just shimmering with unicorn glitter, or you are the kind of person who just leaves a wake of destruction and hatred and ugliness in your Nazi shadow.
You're one of us, or you should be murdered in the name of not being so mean to everyone.
Right. And then number five, not everything has to be profound or spiritual. Sometimes it's good enough to tell people your ear infection is cleared up. Don't write a poem about the discharge or say that you've been blessed. You haven't. It was the antibiotics.
Yeah, and that's also, look, I mean, there's a danger of kind of being banal about posting the shit no one cares about. Like, oh, good, you've bought a new toothbrush. Well done. But also, that's the main reason why most people are friends on Facebook. I mean, some people for networking and to have as many. But, I mean, I'm on there mostly to just see what my friends are up to and get a sense of their personality. You've got people who are wonderful in real life but just insufferable online because they just share their woo bullshit or their political bullshit or reshare the Australia story for the 900th time. Why doesn't Facebook let you filter out a term? If I say I don't want to see anything with the word Australia or fire in it for 2 weeks, doesn't mean I hate Australia and I love the fires. It means I've seen, I know.
But like some,
and I can go on to just, news of the world.
Just by the way, to pick up on that, because here's some actual information that might help you when somebody brings up Australia and the fires and how terrible it is this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Two things I learned last night when I couldn't sleep and I was watching endless amounts of news coverage about both the Australian fires and this Iran, this Iran-America thing. Well, that hadn't happened yet. But number one, they've arrested close to 200 people in Australia for arson.
Dude, I was told by my two good mates in Australia that it's like the main problem is dudes do this on purpose.
Yeah. So let's not do what they did at the Golden Globes and jump on this and say, oh, well, it's climate change. No, it's actual willful shitheads who are going out there and lighting these fires.
Yep, just like most of them on Signal Hill and Table Mountain.
Do you know how many? Like 200 arsonists?
Yep. And they say it may be, because of the like timing, it's almost certainly not a coincidence, because they get this all the time, but isolated. It's a coordinated effort by anarchists and fuck the world, probably overprivileged teenagers, who literally try to set Australia on fire fairly regularly and succeed from time to time.
But my buddy
Jules said, and it was 2 days ago, so things may have changed, that while the media, like while it is a catastrophe, it's not as bad as 10 years ago where they had similar wildfires and more people were killed and more houses were lost. But another thing that on this point is that people get upset with you if you then get upset about something else. Like you can't have two problems.
Yeah.
Like when Je Suis Charlie happened, Nigerian girls had been kidnapped and a lot of high and mighty internet fighters who are on there to be upset. We're like, oh, it's, you know, like 12 people get murdered in France and it's a big deal, but like no one's even talking about Boko Haram. It's like, no, people are.
Well, I heard exactly this just yesterday.
You can have two problems.
From an idiot who said to me, you know, it's so unfair. When Cape Town had its drought disaster and its imminent water crisis, everybody was worried about it. And now the Eastern Cape's going through the same thing and nobody cares. It's not that nobody cares. It's just they're not the same and they're not equal things.
And they're not your friends. You've got lots of friends in Cape Town and not a lot in the Eastern Cape, maybe.
And we have more people who listen to this show in Cape Town than we do in Butterworth. So fuck you, Butterworth. I'm sorry, we're not going to be covering you as much.
But you might find someone in the Eastern Cape who's got 786 Facebook friends, 500 of whom are also from the Eastern Cape, probably talking about it more than the people in your Facebook circle who will be Cape Tonians and Joburgers if that's where you're from.
To bring equality to the world. First of all, you don't have a cape, and second of all, you're not doing nearly as much as that girl who took off all her clothes and took all those nudies.
Dude,
to
get porn for the planet. I'm so for it.
What a
winning
porn formula.
For the planet.
What was her name, Sia? You tell the
story. Porn for the planet.
I don't remember her name now. 20-year-old LA-based model.
She's great. I mean, I just want to say that I feel bad. Because I got one of my friends forwarded a whole bunch of her pictures.
Free and pirated.
Yes.
Disgusting.
I haven't paid for the
fires. Donate 100 rant to the fires.
Yeah.
I like had to steal. I couldn't source like the source of an artwork, like an illustrated thing of Corey Taylor from Slipknot. Like I found it on the internet, tried to find where to buy it, couldn't find where to buy it. So I downloaded it. I had a friend retrace it, and I just donated $100 to UNICEF. I was like, fuck it, I'm putting the good back in the world.
But that's nice of you.
It's the same when you like don't pirate Punani for the planet. And I think people should start doing pecs and penises for the planet too. Hashtag pecs for the planet. Hashtag penis for the planet.
That.
Yeah. Put your shit online for the planet. Don't like steal from the planet.
Kaylin Ward is her name.
Kaylin Ward.
Don't steal from Kaylin Ward or the planet.
God and she still persevered when Instagram deactivated her account.
My God, if you can persevere through that kind of a life catastrophe.
Yeah, I know.
But I also see friends of mine, okay, and they're supporting their friends. This really isn't my business. But friends of mine, their friends get deactivated for either general dickheadness or because they showed a bit too much nipple or whatever. Their friends get deactivated on Instagram, and they start like petitioning for people to go and complain to Instagram about the shutdown. It's like hashtag unfair shutdowns. It's a private service. They've got rules. Let that person appeal their shutdown, great. And let the people who own the platform decide if they made the right decision.
Yeah, for the
because
nipple
400
for the
of
nipple.
You inbox them about like at Dave Sex Leather 2000 got taken down. It's like, well, that's between him and Instagram. I don't
Dave
care
Sex
if your friend got taken down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was some stories like that over the holidays. All right. You can see Gordon and I have a lot to catch up on. You can also get hold of us if you'd like to on 0797482090. The one thing, Bulelo, that we haven't done for the last 2 days and people are bitching about it is that you haven't been giving us a little sports update. It's not your fault. I haven't given you any space.
And what a morning for it. Me here. Jesus. What happened last night? Please continue.
Yeah, we'll find, I promise you, we'll find a gap even if it kills us. So we got the five things you need to know. That's coming up just now. Just to get to the matric pass rate as well. We'll cover that during the news stories. And we'll find out why Gord had a shitty end of the year. He also, didn't you have to replace like your whole car?
Just had a whole lot of really unexpected maintenance that I was told would only need to happen in March and would probably be about a third. I mean, car maintenance happens, but my car broke on the 23rd of December.
Oh, that's a terrible
So
time.
I had to get it. I could only take it in on Monday. And then I thought I was like, I don't know where to tell the story that it's not long and boring, but I was told at my last service that my brakes would last until the next service, which is in March. So my brakes started going, and I was like, okay, that's bad. So I took it in, and not only did I need new and I took it to an oak that I know who owns the place, and I trust him not to like sell me shit I don't need. Because if I go to a car place and they say, oh my God, dude, your defibrillating flux capacitor is about to catch fire and murder your whole car and you while you're in it, it's 25 grand, I'll be like, oh shit. Like, can you not find a third party one for 20? And I'll do it. So this is an oak that won't rip me off. So anyway, I just needed a major service, a few parts, back brakes, back pads, the whole thing, and it cost me like $9,000 on the 4th of January.
Oh, that's horrible. As if we don't have enough expenses in the first
When month. I was told, in about March, April, when you have your next annual service, you'll probably need some brake pads. So keep that in mind. Put away an extra few hundred rand. Yeah. But I mean, then a mate of mine said the same thing happened to him, but it was a Subaru and it was $40,000. I was like, you own a Subaru, but that still really sucks.
Yeah. Wow, this is it.
And his car broke on Christmas.
Oh.
To the tune of 40,000 rand. Same oak got smoke inhalation bronchitis over the festive season. So my buddy Gareth van der Merwe, bro, Strong's. Thoughts and prayers for Gareth.
Yes.
Hashtag all, thoughts and prayers.
Let's all strip naked and send nude selfies to anyone who will donate money.
I'm going
to
write a blog about it, and everyone needs to share it on their social media. Hashtag pray for Gareth.
Why is there a go-to
just
voice?
Just to be clear, it's not this Gareth, all right?
No, Gareth.
There is a go-to voice.
There is a go-to voice that you guys have been prayers. Using today.
Happy New Year, Cliff Central. Brilliant podcast to start 2020. Thank you. And that is from Ramita.
Yes,
thank you,
man.
Ramita. Very nice to hear from you this morning.
Oh, like her name.
Yes. And then there are also all kinds of funny things going on. You know, people love to spread like any imminent danger about how, well, this is going to be the year where we are left without power for 6 months in a row, so make sure you're stocked up on beans.
On that note, I have no water and no power, and I woke up this morning. If a lion eats me, it will have its probiotics will be sorted.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, my beard smells like a loose tooth.
Jesus, thank you. Great. And I actually came in close for a hello this morning. I shouldn't have done that.
Shoulder hug, side hug.
I love Arnold Schwarzenegger. I know you do, too. Mm-hmm. And Arnold's son, Patrick, is in a movie called Daniel Isn't Real. That's the movie's name. And
I'm in just for the movie's title.
Yeah, and he's nude in the movie. And Arnold is so excited about his son being naked in the movie. Listen to this. It's so great. I love how Arnold just... He's just such a bizarre guy. And at the same time, he's just enviably open about everything. He's like, I was a bodybuilder. Then I became a governor. Then I became a movie actor. I was great. I'm still great. You know, he has parties at his house.
But you can be great too.
He has parties at his house where he brings like elephants and giraffes from the
zoo.
Does
he Mike Tyson it?
To party with the people.
I mean, very not keen on zoos, but on eccentricity, he scores extra points.
And he like has midgets wrestling, and he does interesting shit.
Dude, your Arnold Schwarzenegger accent is one of my favorite things ever. Like, I prefer you to actual Arnie.
Well, here he is. Listen.
Just 2 days ago, I watched at night my son's movie. It was just wild watching him. His acting was so extraordinary. He's so talented. And then all of a sudden, there's this sex scene then, all of a sudden.
Right,
And you see
what's
this,
that like for you?
That was absolutely wild, you know? Because I remember my wife called me the day before, and she says, I just saw Patrick's movie. And it's like unbelievable. I'm sitting there, and he didn't tell me anything about it. And all of a sudden, I saw his naked butt there having a sex scene. And then I said, oh, I cannot wait to see that. I said, I'm seeing the movie tomorrow. Yeah. And so I watched the movie. But that's really an experience and a half, I didn't tell you, to see your son. But I mean, I've been just proud because he's right now doing another movie, and he's really working his way up. He's getting the starring roles. And you know, I went on a set to visit him, and everyone came up to me and says, you know, Arnold, we just want to tell you, you have the nicest son. He's so well behaved. He's coming in so well prepared all the time. He's so disciplined and all this stuff. So all these compliments I got, so it was wonderful to see that.
Proud dad.
Yeah, he's a proud dad. Isn't he a great dad?
My mom walked in on me grinning once, and she didn't go on the internet saying how exciting it was.
Did your mother really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm.
She apologized. She was like, I'm sorry, I should have not loved her.
No.
Hey, it was my first serious girlfriend. I was 18. She was 17. Both families knew it was sleepover time. And I dated her for 7 years, so it was a beautiful thing.
So if Arnold
but my mom just, like, walked in and... Yeah, it was not that explicit, but she literally said sorry. She's like, I'm really sorry, I should have knocked.
Yeah,
I'm like, yes, you
should
have.
If Arnold had walked in on you doing that, he would have gone, well done!
God, I'm so impressed with you. You look fantastic.
Your form is good.
That is great. Yes. Just work a little harder on your pounding.
Yeah, if you can just flex your lower abdominals.
Yeah, and try to look a little harder when you do it and smile. The girl wants to know you're enjoying it.
Fewer thrusts, but more power.
I'm sorry, that's
I can't do justice to it like Gareth does, but
he's
I can literally Arnold Schwarzenegger with Gareth for like 4 hours and never stop finding
he's
it funny.
He's told about his son in a sex scene and he says, I can't wait to see it.
It's just
such a trip. It's amazing.
He's not getting turned on by it.
No, he's just, it's interesting.
And he is very comfortable around that stuff. You've heard that clip I played once or twice of him talking about how I love the feeling of being in the gym.
Orgasms.
It feels like I'm coming.
The pump is like an orgasm.
I get the pump. Most people can have one, maybe two orgasms. Me, no, I get 40 before you are even awake.
If you have sex with a beautiful woman. Anyway, yeah. Enough of that.
Wait, Gareth, you're leaving out the most important thing Arnold Schwarzenegger's ever done.
What?
He married a Kennedy and then cheated on a Kennedy with the maid. Yep. Now that takes you to godlike status.
And I'll tell you why he's an even better person than even you've just said, is that he has been involved in the life of this other kid that he had with the maid, who is now, I think the kid's just graduated. He's like 18. He looks, by the way, just like Arnold. Arnold's kids with Maria Shriver do not look as much like Arnold as this kid does. And he's been, like, he was at the graduation. He's very public about, this is my son. I love him. I fucked the maid, but look at my son.
This is Arnold Snow.
He loves him. Yeah, Arnold Snow.
So,
right.
So yeah, something to so just he's pick just up.
Like, I like Arnold. If we could all be a little more Arnold, the world would be a better
also
place.
Also, like, he was like, yeah, I did a bad thing and I regret it. This is what I did. Yeah, I've apologized to my wife. She was cool enough to forgive me. It was a crap personal time.
They did get, I think they've separated.
Well, the point is that he admitted it and didn't, like, try and blame Jesus or whatever US Fundamentalist
what actually
did.
Happened?
This happened in 2011. They filed for divorce. And they've separated, but they legally haven't, like, signed the divorce papers. Mm. So that's why when I was listening to that as well, he refers to his wife, which I still think
it's Maria.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Probably an expensive paper to sign or some such legal technical. Probably like a financial arrangement that suits everyone.
Isn't Maria really big buddies with your friend Oprah Winfrey?
She is.
She's like one of Oprah's big inner circle.
Yeah. So I remember it was just ridiculously petty and shady in 2011.
If you're in Oprah Winfrey's inner circle, by the way, and the shadow starts to come upon you, you may be crushed.
Yeah. When you say inner circle, let's just spell that phonetically. It can mean two different things.
I knew where this was going. No.
Oprah, inner circle. God, no. No, I mean her friendship.
Stuff.
Like, oh, in.
Stuff cord. So 2011, when this whole Arnold thing came about, it was when Oprah was ending her show. And so Maria stopped by the show one of the days and in a speech was doing a toast to Oprah. And she said, Oprah, most especially, you've been a good friend because you've given me the truth. Wow. And everyone started cheering because they knew exactly what she was alluding to. It's like, pity. But look, if you got cheated on as well.
It's like the.
Oh, like it's bloody totally awful being cheated on. Same as it's totally bloody awful dying in a plane crash or someone you love doing so. But we can laugh about the. We can laugh
the
about
generalities.
The generalities. Yeah. And we can suffer through our pain together by laughing about things.
Let's do the five things we need to know, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first thing in the news this morning, the Hawks have nabbed 4 for trying to sell lion paws. People are trying to sell lion paws.
And who buys it and what for?
I don't know, but they apparently...
Do you eat it because penis or something? Or do you want it as an ornament?
It probably might be a reason like that, yeah.
They will appear in the Rustenburg Magistrates Court on Wednesday. They were nabbed in a sting operation while trying to sell 4 paws to undercover agents in the Northwest Province. They're aged between 41 and 51. These are not kids. And they face charges of contravening the National Environment Management Biodiversity Act. On Friday, the carcasses of 8 lions are found at a lodge in the northwest. The paws and snouts were removed. So, obviously, it's the same people, and there should be very harsh sentences for these people. You know, it's just gross. It's so stupid, selling a lion paw. Farmers could soon donate land through an online system. Listen to this. The Department of Rural Development and Land Reform is considering bringing land allocation into the digital age. A new draft policy for the allocation of land could see farmers donate land through an online system. You know how many farmers I know personally and have spoken to who have actually given away parts of their land to the people who work for them and have lived on that land for generations? They've just done it anyway. They didn't need government to get involved. They've done it because it was the right thing to do. I'm talking hundreds of farmers. And if you ask the guys at, you know, the various landbouwunies, they will give you those statistics, and it's actually quite heartwarming. We always hear the stories about what a shitty country this is, how people don't get along, how workers are mistreated, how farmers are racists, and, you know, you hear all this stuff because that's how the news sells. But you never hear about how there are communities of people who, when, for example, there's a farm murder, all the people who work on the farm get into the search and rescue parties. They get into the like the effort to try and find out who did this. There's a huge sense of community in these places because sometimes these families have been around each other for generations. Yeah. And even though there's inequality in a lot of these places, and there is obviously, there are pockets of racism, and they're so rare that they always end up in the news, which should tell you something.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who are doing good things, and it's interesting to me that now, I'm sure this didn't come from government, it must have come from someone outside of government who said, you know what, if farmers want to donate a piece of their land, let's make it as easy for them as possible to do. Because it can be very, very difficult to actually parcel off bits of the land, you know.
So yeah, well, it's a sectional title type of vibes.
Yeah, there's a lot of complicated stuff that goes into it, and also it costs a lot in legal fees. And if it can be made simpler, I'm sure that there are a lot of farmers who would do this. So let's look at this as a positive for now and see what happens, because this is good. It's meant to help the rural, poor and landless, as well as residents of poor municipalities and peri-urban areas to gain access to land. Let me tell you, I am such a proponent of people owning, even if it's a postage-sized stamp piece of land. You need, everybody should have a little piece of the earth, because it, first of all, it makes you want to look after it.
Mm.
Second of all, it gives you something to borrow against if you want to start a little business, or you want to enter the economy in some formal manner. You can say, look, I own, you know, this half acre of land somewhere, or, you know, this little tiny piece of the earth is mine. I can make it mine. There's some huge pride associated with that, and it's not small. It's not to be scoffed at. Only 2% of all the people on earth own land.
I don't believe land can be owned. It can only be earned and shared and respected. We're custodians.
In other news, this is from Times Live. A customer was arrested for beating up a Checkers hyper cashier in the Northwest. Listen to this.
Oh, man.
Yeah, a male customer beat up a female cashier in an apparent dispute over the price of an item.
I bet it was a dude beating on a woman.
Yeah, it's always,
Who would have thought?
But they argued about the price of an item.
Like the cashier's got anything to do with it. That's my worst. And it's usually Sant and Sharon's that are like, this is R19.95 for chewing gum at Woolies. Disgraceful. You know that it's disgraceful. And the cashier's just like, fuck my life. Okay.
Well, she was beaten up by a male customer over a pricing dispute. Everyone was there. Other staff members tried to call the customer to order, but were unsuccessful. As the manager said, the customer's always right and let him go, said an eyewitness who spoke on condition of anonymity, fearing victimization. Checkers reacted to a storm brewing on social media with a post that said, we condemn the incident. I don't know how this is Checkers' fault.
Yeah, obviously everyone's going to want to lynch Checkers. Like, yeah. Where were the other customers? Because I understand the conundrum from the point. I mean, unless the woman's in genuine danger, but any assault's unacceptable, and anyone who's not themselves feeling like they will likely get hurt by intervening. For example, I'll get involved there. I don't like to fight, I'll be like, dude, unhand her.
Would
like,
you punch the guy?
No, you can tantrum all you want, and I'll tell you eloquently how the direction in which to fuck off, but you touch her, and she's saying, don't touch me, and the people's elbow will fly in defiance of physics. This body can do shit that Newton's not keen on.
You've had some training.
Yeah, well, for real. Yeah. I mean, and I will remove the person. And if they produce a weapon, I'll logically say, okay, and stand back. But yeah. I mean, if a person's got their hand on someone that doesn't want it on, it's the responsibility of the upstanding citizens to quell the situation using appropriate and necessary amount of force.
Here's the problem. There's a local community activist. Now, this person should immediately get a job and actually earn a living. Because Makhato Moshweo.
More like John
was critical of the retailer for failing to initially protect the cashier. What would you like? Checkers management to hop in a helicopter and make it just before the woman gets hit by this lunatic. He's a bad person. You get bad people. This guy was a douchebag. It's not Checkers' fault. Makhato Moshweo.
Or should the other three presumably female cashiers have formed a little militia and taken the oak out? Where were the good men?
Yeah.
Hashtag men are trash. Where were the good dudes?
Right.
And it's very rare in your life that you get to dispense actual righteous justice, where you can mur an oak and not have to even consider whether it was wrong. You must take those opportunities in life. Yeah.
That is an opportunity to teach someone a lesson quite quickly.
Have you guys ever done it?
I fought crime once and saved a friend of mine from being kidnapped, and then I nearly killed the oak, and then that made me feel pretty bad.
And then this just comes in from Australia. We were just talking about it, but there are 200 people who've been arrested already on arson charges. But the Australian
not 10, not 12,
200.
Not four psychos, and 200. And that's the ones they've caught.
And just this morning, another 24 people have been charged with intentionally starting bushfires in the state of New South Wales, according to a statement from New South Wales Police released Monday. And I didn't get to throw this in earlier, but the other big story that is attached to this ongoing Australian fires story is the fact that the government, you know, Australia is run by rules upon rules upon rules. Regulation is the key to everything in Australia. They have such processes that farmers are complaining in order to burn fire breaks on their own land, land that belongs to them. They have to go through such – I kid you not. Let me try and remember exactly what this farmer said. He said he has to apply to the local municipality, which you have to pay, first of all. He then has to photograph and label and identify every tree in the
break. Oh, because now there might be a rare species.
Exactly.
Kind of makes sense.
Because the Green Party are in the ascendant in Australia, right? So he then has to label and identify and then categorize and send in his list. Then someone from the department comes out and checks.
Ratifies the list.
Correct.
And the rats.
He says this whole thing takes like 2 years. And his property was just threatened by the same fires. And he lost a huge amount of land, some livestock, because the bureaucracy, the regulation, the red tape around people making rules.
But I mean, surely if this regulatory body is in charge of protecting this flora and fauna, and in some areas where it's rare and it's a rare biosystem, surely it's their responsibility to map out the ecosystems and say, okay, well...
Government, because this guy had written to every minister that you could write to. He had
including Ray McCauley.
In the Australian government. And he had tried everything. I'll find you the clip. It was on Sky News in Australia, and I watched this last night, and I felt so sorry for this.
Yeah, the government didn't allow me to protect my land.
The government wouldn't allow you to do anything with your land that they hadn't already said yes to. And this is the problem with anybody in the world who still believes that the state should be in charge of everything. Ordinary people are better at looking after their own shit than the government will ever be.
Look, here's one where we don't have to necessarily 100% agree, and I say on that I'm a bit in the middle.
Yeah.
There's room for a bit of state intervention here and there, but too much is unhealthy, and a Wild West state, to me, is unhealthy. So you have extremes.
Well, and we're a Wild West state, and it seems like one of the most habitable places on Earth
to me. Extremes.
I like it.
So, yeah, I'm kind of, when you say, like, government intervention is all bad, I'm sort of in the middle on that. But in this case, it's, like, ridiculous. Let the farmer farm, bro.
Fair enough. Harvey Weinstein has been rebuked by a judge for using a phone in court. And guess what? He arrived with a walker, like a Zimmer frame.
You mean a zombie that can't run?
Harvey Weinstein is trying to go for that.
Oh, I'm frail. He's got that rare condition, the Shabir Shakes. Yeah. It's a neurological thing that can really affect you.
Listen to what the judge said. The judge said, is this really the way you want to end up in jail for the rest of your life, by texting and violating a court order? Apparently, the Manhattan judge instructed the former Hollywood producer, who's out on bail, to not to answer the question. He faces 5 charges and possibly life in jail if convicted. The allegations include rape and predatory sexual assault relating to 2 unnamed accusers. He is charged with raping 1 woman in a Manhattan hotel room in 2013 and performing a forcible sex act on the 2nd woman in 2006.
Mind like the fact that, assuming that, I mean, I have to believe that that's true and everything, he should be like tarred and feathered and then hanged. There's also like hundreds of complaints of just being a really sif nurse.
Yeah. And he was using this phone.
It's not like just 2 rapes. Listen, it's 2 rapes and a lifetime of durseness.
Listen to this. He was using 2 mobile phones on Tuesday in court.
So still that important and entitled and fuck everyone, I'll do what I want.
I'm not even taking this court seriously. According to local media, he had been admonished by the judge at previous court appearances for using a mobile phone. What did I say would happen if he so much has a cell phone or an electronic device, since there have been repeated violations of this? I believe you said remand, Mr. Weinstein, judge replied after a heated exchange, meaning to put his client in jail. Lead prosecutor Joan Iluzzi urged Judge Burke to jail Mr. Weinstein, who's out on $5 million bail. He's required to wear an electronic tracking device.
Maybe he was using his cell phone's GPS as the electronic tracking device.
And then this is the big story of the morning that a lot of people are talking about. the Iranian regime has launched 15 ballistic missiles into Iraq, targeting U.S. and coalition forces, officials have said. Iran fired all of these missiles at major installations as a retaliation by the rogue regime after the U.S. airstrike that killed the Iranian Quds Force General Qasem Soleimani last week. 10 missiles hit Al-Assad Air Base, 1 missile hit a military base in Erbil, and 4 missiles failed to hit their targets, according to U.S. military spokespeople for Central Command. So, out of 15, 1 hit the military base in Erbil, 10 hit the Al-Assad Air Base, 4 failed to hit their targets.
They were especially angry. So the regime took out the U-plane. I mean, it can't be a coincidence that these oaks were firing rockets and on the same day,
well,
a plane went down taking off from Iran.
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? But this is going to escalate. It's definitely not going to go away. All right, let's talk to Mbolelo quickly, because I get so much feedback from people who say, oh, we miss the sport, we need some sport, it's not fair, and now with Ben not being here every week, fuck that. So here he is. Here's Mbolelo Tinta with some sport for you.
I am here.
Take it away, dude. What do you got for us?
You need cool backing music.
No.
No, no, no. I'm a solo act. I want all the attention. So yesterday, probably the worst time to be a South African cricket fan.
Why?
Is right now. So we have probably the worst captain and the worst team and the most like lukewarm team, and it's like a bunch of complaining guys as well.
You have to.
So you mean this last 15 odd years is the worst time to be a Proteas fan?
No. Right now. It hasn't been too bad for a while. We had a decent team for the last 10 years or so, but the Proteas lost, Gareth, and it was so sad. And Ben Stokes, who's, I hate to say it, a ginger, really dominated us. So you never want to lose to them. We lost by 189 runs, and it was painful.
Because gingers can do whatever they want to you, and they don't go to hell for it.
But they get all the credit if it's good.
They get the in-life points.
They never get the reprimand. So, absolutely.
So it's a sad time in South African cricket.
Oh, absolutely deplorable. And we still have to put up with Faf du Plessis as our captain probably for the next year, and he's unbearable.
It looked like it was kind of close, though, in a tough fight. I didn't follow it, but friends of mine that like cricket were hashtagging it on social media, and it looked like it went right down to the wire. Like, we weren't humiliated. It was close.
God, it's like saying, I almost didn't get divorced from my wife. You did. Yeah. She's still got a guy with a bigger penis and more money than you. You know.
Oh, my God.
So there's that, Gareth. But there is good news. Last night, if you enjoy football... Mm-hmm. And you have a human soul. I've said this before. Mm-hmm. Manchester United lost at home to Man City. Gareth, I haven't been this happy in so long.
Earlier in the season when we beat them at the Etihad.
No, listen. The last time I was this happy was probably the first time a girl let me see her naked.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
It meant
so
that
you've
much
never really been this happy?
This is... So Man United lost 3-1 at home yesterday. Anybody with a human soul and loves their own mother is delighted.
Dude, it wasn't great, eh? I'm not even going to try and put up too much of a defensive. It was horrible.
And neither did Man United yesterday.
It was cuck. Yeah, it was bad.
How did you feel after the second one, Gord?
Look, I thought the own goal was unlucky, but everything else was legitimate fisting.
But were you like in the fetal position?
The first goal was just such a spectacular goal that you kind of went, okay, cool. Like, you can't begrudge. That's a worldie.
Yeah.
The second one with the own goal, I was like, okay, God hates us today. When we went down 3-0, I stopped watching because I had the show to do and the game finished at midnight. So I ignored the last 25 minutes. And this morning I saw that Rashi scored one to make it vaguely, like, you know, slightly 1 inch less.
Rashi being Marcus Rashford. So 3-1 to Man City in the first leg of the EFL Cup. Gareth, we'll be back with a little bit more tomorrow, but let's celebrate Man United losing.
I just have to shut up. Also, Liverpool are about to win this season. So those of you who hate United are having your time.
Yeah. A few messages that are coming through this morning. Morning, guys. And Lord Gores. Today is my Monday, so my brain was scrambled when I started hearing Gord Michelle in Cape Town. And then somebody says, nice to hear Gord. Bootfighter is fucking amazing. My lighties can't wait for the sequel. That's Grant and Nelspruit.
If they paid for the first one, then we'll give them the sequel free.
Good morning, guys. Welcome back, Gord. How do you manage to stay friends with Damon?
Me or everyone in general?
I think me. No, well, he was on yesterday, and he's hilarious. He's just a very strange human being.
And he's a good dude.
Yeah, but he's a very strange person. I mean, he hung around for like half an hour yesterday, and we had a bit of a catch-up, which was nice. He had 4 cups of coffee during the time we were sitting there. 4. I had...
What time of day was it? The morning show? It was yesterday's show?
After the show.
Okay, so it wasn't first thing in the morning.
No, he'd already had, I think, one during the show. Did he have one yesterday?
He had one when he walked in.
Yeah.
4 more.
Because that's excessive, like, even if you have that when you wake up, but you can kind of understand that's a morning coffee thing getting a bit out of hand. I got a friend that says he drinks 12 cups of coffee on average a day.
That's insane.
And he's a relatively healthy and sane person, but I mean, that's got to be as good as at least one, maybe 2 lines of Coke. In terms of disrupting your shit, in terms of the effect it's going to have on your things.
Depends on your supplier, I guess.
No, I mean, I'm just, that's a pure estimate. It might be 1.5, it might be 3. But I mean, 12 cups of coffee is...
That's a lot.
Like an amphetamine problem. Yeah.
No, that's a big problem. You have a stimulant addiction that you're not even aware of. Dr. Robin in the Eastern Cape says, guys, I understand, but the drought really is bad in the Eastern Cape. Yeah, I know. And my problem was not that people should not be upset and try to do what... whatever they can about the problem, particularly government, obviously, in this case, about the problem in the Eastern Cape, but that you shouldn't compare tragedies.
Yeah, it's like you can't say, well, you're not allowed to be upset about the Western Cape because you didn't get upset about the Eastern Cape. Not, you can't be upset about the Eastern Cape.
Gord, you can handle this one. This is a very friendly message from Pete Lang, who says, Gord and Gareth, you're sounding like 2 dictators this morning. We will post and share whatever the hell we want.
Oh.
You all are always pushing your anger down our throats.
Okay, so no one makes you listen to the show, and also you can share your – everyone's entitled to an opinion. You're not entitled to an audience. You have to earn an audience. So post whatever you like. I won't see it.
Oh, hot damn.
Have a jewel. And you don't have to see what I post, so let's just agree to disagree.
Well, there's a good answer. I couldn't have done that any better myself.
Don't read me, and I won't read you. Don't listen to my show once a week, and I won't listen to yours.
Good morning, guys. I'm so glad that we're done with the trash that is Star Wars, and Gord is being a cunt for liking it. Just kidding. Peace and love. I'm hanging like the Gardens of Babylon. That's from Sean this morning.
How dare you like it?
Holy hell, Gord. You've been missed. You've made my birthday. Cheers. Dudes in Kakistan.
Happy birthday, dudes. I'm sorry you're in Kakistan.
Dudes in Kakistan.
I hope it goes back to being Radistan. I don't know.
It
doesn't have that thing you were looking for.
I knew when I was 3 words into that it was going for
not working.
Heading for the wall. Yeah,
it just didn't.
Gord, permission to give Mbulelo the people's elbow just because, even though, man, you are cuck, just because. That's from Clintus from the Vol.
The trouble is that he's right. Sometimes when someone's right and it doesn't suit you, you have to just go, I know, shit.
No, you see,
I don't like it, but it's the truth.
It's very adult. Shame. It's very adult of you, Gord.
He didn't lie. He just rubbed salt into the truth.
So lots of people excited to have Gord back. We'll get into some of the news stories this morning. We've got to talk about the matric results because the real numbers are not the numbers that they want you to glean, that the matric pass rate's gone up. Actually, the number of people who started school in 2008... Started school in 2008. Just think about that. 2008 feels like yesterday, but that's 12 years ago.
Yeah, it's mad. It's mad, dude. What blows my mind is things like that you have been out of school for like twice as long as the whole of school took, and it always feels like school was at least 70% of your life.
Wait, how long has it been since you've matriculated?
Okay, so start school 5, turning 6. 12 years, finish 17, turning 19, turning 18.
17, turning 19?
No, 17, turning 18, and that was 1999.
You matriculated.
And I finished studying it in 2004. So 12 years of school, 4 years, 16 years of varsity, and I finished when I was 22, and I'm now 39. So I've been, it's 17 years. Okay, it's not twice as long, but I've been out of school a lot longer than school and varsity took.
Whew.
5 or 6 years longer than all of school and varsity took.
It's hard to
figure. And it feels like it was 3 years ago.
Yeah. Well, the point is...
And I'm still hungover from the matric dance.
No.
Anyone who entered school in 2008 would have matriculated if they'd stayed in school this year, right? So the 2020 results, 2019 results that we've just had, those are the matrics who started in 2008. Now, what I want to know, and what most of us should want to know, is how many people who started school all those years ago at the beginning of grade one
are still
actually matriculated now.
So are they saying the number of matriculants is higher as opposed to the percentage of passing?
No, exactly.
Because that would be fuckery.
No, exactly the opposite. So what they're saying is that the matric pass rate has gone up. In other words, out of all the people who wrote matric, more have passed than the last year or the year before.
But in terms of volume or in terms of percentage?
No, percentage.
Okay, that's okay then.
Here's the problem, is that in 2008, there were X number of people who started school, and only a fraction of those people have actually passed matric after 12 years, because most of them have dropped out of school during those intervening 12 years.
Oh, yeah. So you don't only fail matric while writing the papers, is what you're saying.
Right.
There's a fall away that's a failure of the system before people even get to sit the exams and fail.
Exactly.
Got you.
And here's the problem with that. If you look at the numbers and you do a proper calculation, the real matric pass rate is actually only 39%.
So how many people who started school finished matric, as opposed to how many people who wrote the papers passed the papers?
Right. Well, Minister of Basic Education Angie Motshekga has announced that the matric pass rate for the class of 2019 is 81.3%. But the real matric pass rate, the number of learners who started grade 10 2 years ago and passed their matric exams in 2019, is however much lower. 1,052,000 learners enrolled in grade 10 back in 2017. That's the equivalent to 2 years before matric, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to solve for X here, so I'm going slow. No, really, I'm mathsing as we go.
So 1,052,000 learners were in grade 10 in 2017.
Okay.
Only 504,000 of these learners actually wrote their matric exams. It's half.
Less than, 40-odd percent.
This means that only 48% of grade 10 learners wrote their matric exams, and only 39% of those learners passed matric.
So 40% of 40% passed.
Correct.
Yeah, it's going well.
The real matric pass rate can therefore be seen as 39% instead of the 81%, which has been celebrated by our education minister. Equal Education, that's an organization that's involved in these discussions and has been one of the major advocates for free education and for people to be given the best possible educational opportunities in South Africa. They have come out and said that learning backlogs that develop and deepen in the early years of schooling are a major contributor to learners dropping out.
I mean, even in privileged situations, kids that are born in the second half of the year do worse. You know, it's like little micro increments when you're that age. But if you want to feel really old, people born in the year 2000 are now legal and more or less ethical to shag. And also, it's as close to 2050 as it is to 1990.
Yeah.
When the best ever Ninja Turtles, of which everything else is a fucking shoddy ripoff,
alrighty, cool,
was on TV.
All right, Gord's chosen the song for this morning. We'll come back with some more news in a minute and take your thoughts. 079-748-2090. Let us know what's on your mind. It's 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com.
Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or better known as ADHD, is
cliffcentral.com.